Hey y'all, welcome back to Latinas Watching Bravo. Just a heads up, what you're about to listen to is an edited clip taken from the full, complete, original conversation.
Her oldest probably has friends that subscribes to her fucking OnlyFans.
Probably.
Get the fuck out of here.
And do we still believe it's feet? Because she's
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes my own children take my photos. It's fine.
That I believe.
Yeah.
That her photos are so innocent is what she's saying.
No.
Right.
No. No. Who was it the other day that was on? Oh, Black China the other day was peddling the same fucking storyline that she makes money on OnlyFans with just feet pictures. No.
If that's true, I need to go rent some feet.
If that's true, everybody would get on OnlyFans and sell pictures of their feet. And we would all make $10,000 a week on OnlyFans.
By the way, I just did my taxes and it says, did you receive virtual income? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating how this world is changing? Fucking government coming for those virtual dollars.
Man, can we start getting paid in crypto so they'll leave it alone?
Right. Well, yeah.
They'll get to that. Don't worry.
Yeah, no, they will. They're like,
we'll figure out how to regulate it.
I don't know if you guys are selling Sunset fans, but Christine and her husband just started a real estate brokerage that's focusing on crypto purchases.
Yeah, it's only like buying in crypto. They facilitate everything. Yeah.
Well, like at this last Super Bowl, Miller Lite paid I don't know how many million to host their Super Bowl halftime Miller Lite room in the metaverse. It's an alternate universe. No one is actually there.
How does this work? I don't understand.
I don't know. I'm trying to learn.
Listen, this is already very Ready Player One, and it's
If anyone's listening, hit me up.
I'm
trying to get those crypto dollars, the NFT dollars. I'm a freelance writer. I need insurance.
I need somebody to like explain it to me, like if I'm in kindergarten. Because I'm not an unintelligent person.
Right.
No matter how much I can read up on this, the best way that I could put this is that it's MLMs for dudes, for white dudes.
That's so funny.
It's an MLM. It's like the stock market is astrology for white dudes and NFTs and crypto is an MLM for white dudes.
So accurate.
I don't get it. I want to understand it. I really do. I'm not dumb.
That's what I tell myself. I am a smart, educated person. I can understand this. I'm still working on it. So if anyone's listening, let me know.
I listened to a podcast recently that of some friends of mine that it's also a Latino focused podcast host that they had one of their guests recently like explain it, and he explained it really well. And I still don't get it.
Oh, drop the name. I need to go listen to this.
So it's my buddies. The name of their podcast is Pero Let Me Tell You.
Oh, okay.
They're based out of Miami, and it's so they had an episode. I want to say like two or three episodes. They had a co-host. His name was I don't remember his last name. His first name is Darwin, and I know the guy. I've met him several times. But he's been into crypto and into like all that stuff since like the beginning of it. I think he first invested in 2012. I want to say. When it was like when nobody knew about it, and he explained the whole thing very succinctly, very very like simply, and I'm still like, okay.
I appreciate that. I don't feel bad now.
I'm gonna have to listen to that and see.
Yeah, me too.
Because I literally sat not too long ago through an entire like continuing education credit.
No, I feel like webinar. I need a TED talk or a webinar or something.
Literally on like crypto in terms of like estate planning, because like that's what I do, trust and estate. And I was like, I still don't get it.
I am trying to learn. Like when Super Bowl was happening, I'm telling you, I was on top of it. I know who's investing because now. That's what reminded me, because now you can sell real estate in the metaverse. You're actually like Snoop Dogg purchased a whole parcel of land.
How? It's fake.
But you actually get.
Para qué?
actually get money as the real estate broker.
But that's like what I don't understand.
The IRS is now asking you about virtual money made. You see,
it is. That's what I don't understand about like NFTs. It's like I own the picture. I'm like, okay, I can take a screenshot and own the picture. Like, please, like, I don't get it.
Okay, on that, I agree with you. I don't get it. I've tried to analyze it. So apparently, there's like a tag number to it that it exists on the web. So like, I thought the same thing.
On the blockchain.
Right. So that, well, and then it's like, if you take a screenshot of it, you don't actually own it. So it's just like how you said, like prestigious white
people. It's in my phone. I own it.
That want to own it like a Picasso. That I don't understand it. I agree with you though. It's like white people money. Cause I saw an NFT of a rock, like a drawing that sold for like $44,000. Una pierda. Like, I don't understand it. It didn't have a hologram, nothing.
I don't understand. I don't get it, but whatever. I sent you guys the link to that episode in our chat. Okay. Also, so you can listen to
we'll
it.
Follow up.
But also, just like side note before, I know that we've totally deviated. Did we know that Christine Quinn's husband invented Grubhub? That's why he's like a
zillionaire. That's what he's rich for?
That's why he's rich. He's the inventor of Grubhub. Made a
killing during this pandemic.
I know.
Yeah. Wow. Also, like, those drivers are really pissed off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They are. Yeah. No, they're for sure.
Not happy.
Yeah.
Neither are their regular employees, though, because apparently they have this thing now where they're trying to implement that, like, their employees, like, once a month have to do a drive. And which I think is great. Like, they're full-time employees. Like, they're executives and they're, like, office, like, they're corporate employees. Right. But they implemented this new thing. Again, white dudes complaining.
Yeah.
About white tech bros complaining. That they were gonna implement this policy a couple months ago where they were gonna like make everybody that's like in the corporate office do one drive a month, which is not asking for a lot, to be very honest. No. And there's a lot of companies that do this. Like I have a client of mine. One of my former grooms, he works for Subway Corporate, and I'm lying. He used to work for Burger King Corporate, and Burger King Corporate once a quarter made you work in a store for 3 days, three consecutive days. So just to kind of like make sure that their corporate office is still in touch with like how the actual business works and like how the actual stores operate. And like Grubhub was like kind of doing the same thing. And these like, why like tech bros were freaking out that like how God dare forbid. They be getting yeah, be forced.
They're not even cooking the food, they're just delivering.
It's gonna maybe take 20 minutes out of your day. Like, are you kidding? Like, you take shits that are shorter than like longer than that. Get the fuck out of here.
That's hilarious. But you know, there is a momentum.
Sorry happening. For the tangent. I'm sorry.
No, but that's a really good point because like as we've seen, and G and I were talking about this before you jumped on, you know, like the mass exodus of employees that are like, I am not going to sacrifice my life anymore for my company. There's also like this moment happening with companies. Like I've been watching like Amazon worker strike, one union, mm-hmm. and then Starbucks. Starbucks is now under the fire about not letting their employees unionize. So it is really interesting to watch in real time history happening while we're surviving a pandemic, just these big conglomerates, right? Starting to crumble a little. Very fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going back to foodies, this is a good segue. People that probably used a lot of Grubhub. I love Nicole and Anthony are huge foodies. I love that whole scene of them ordering everything on the damn menu. And it then when she said, do you want dessert? He's like, why do you ask foolish questions or something like that?
I like where he was like, I'm fat. I want more food.
I love watching people. It's like how I love Candy. Candy enjoys food.
Enjoys food.
Mm-hmm. I love watching Candy eat. That's how I love watching.
All the Atlanta girls do. They're all like that. And that's what I really appreciate. And the Potomac girls do too. Like they'll eat. Like it's not like the LA girls. Like you see like Lisa Rinna order a side of French fries and then like not touch it.
And then they all like shared one fry. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love people that love food, and I love that Nicole and Anthony are such.
Let me tell you, I was like 3 feet away from her yesterday, and she's got a banging body, so she eats, but she has to like work out.
Oh, that's right. You had some insider info. How did that go?
I was fine. I mean, I didn't get a chance to meet her. It was a little crazy. I am friends with her sister-in-law, which is how I kind of like am in her.
So this is Anthony's sister?
No, this is
her brother's wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's actually friends with my husband from like a long time ago. And then like, they just happened to be in our school, and the first communion was yesterday. And so we didn't really think it was going to be like a big deal. And by we, there's like, in our, my little mom group of friends, there's like four or five of us that are like Big Housewives fans. We talk about it a lot.
Do you guys like talk to her about it, or how does that work?
No, because they're, so I was sitting at a party a couple of months ago, and they were like, her brother was there, and somebody asked him, I was like, oh, like your sister's going to be on the show. Like, you guys excited or whatever. And he was like, not thrilled about it. Mm. So he, from what I understand, has a closer relationship with the dad. Mm-hmm. Both parents were there. Like the Nicole's mom and dad were both there. But anyway, we didn't think that it was going to be like, we didn't think we were going to get to see them because the communion, because of COVID, initially we were told it was going to be limited capacity and certain tickets. And then like 2 weeks ago, they opened it up to everybody. They were like, we're not limiting, invite whoever you want to invite. So I jokingly texted one of my friends the other day. I'm like, do you guys think that Nikki's going to go? Like, not thinking that she was going to go. And let me tell you, Nikki and I share a makeup artist. And I hired her for that morning. So I'm like, she's not going to go. She doesn't have her makeup artist. She's not going to go.
That's hilarious. So that makeup artist almost did my makeup.
She's wonderful. I went to high school with her. I've known her for a very long time. She's like the sweetest girl. And she's really, really, really great. Like, if you need a makeup artist in Miami, hire her because she's fantastic.
That's right. I forgot we went to the same high school.
Yeah.
What a close-knit world.
Miami is tiny. I'm telling you.
It's the smallest.
It's the smallest big city I've ever been to.
Throw some business her way. Well, who's the makeup artist? Where's her page?
Her Instagram page is Your Face by Grace.
Yeah.
And she's been, and like she reposts Nicole all the time. Nicole reposts her. So it's not like it's a secret. But anyway, I'm standing there with this friend of mine that like we were texting about, oh, are we going to see Nikki? And she goes, oh my God, she's here. And I'm like, what? So she was like, she's walking behind you. Be cool. So then I was like,
Don't fan out.
So then I called another friend of mine over, and I kind of did like the head nod of like, look, but don't look thing.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, it's there. I was like, oh my God, she's here. So she like walked right by us. Grayson was with her. My insurance attorney, however, was not there, unfortunately. But yeah, she was totally fine. I mean, she was at her nephew's communion. Like, what, you know, just outside of like the five or six of us that like knew who she was, like nobody made a big deal about it.
I was going to say Miami is so full of celebs. It must be like whatever. Mm-hmm.
But not on our side of Miami.
Oh, okay.
So it's like we live in a very like normal, like suburban part of Miami. That's more like Brickell, South Beach, like kind of vibe, Wynwood, you know, that area. But then my husband threw me under the bus because I ran up to him. I was like, she's here. And then my husband threw me under the bus later with his friend, like with the sister-in-law that he's been friends with for a while. And he tells her, he's like, she's embarrassed to tell you, but she wants to meet your sister-in-law. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this now. Like, this is embarrassing. Super embarrassing. What a douche. But but I was like, look, she was like, yeah, just come after, like we're done, like whatever, I'll introduce you. I was like, this is not the forum for that. Like with this, it's a fucking first communion. Like
I know
we'll do it
like in the church lobby. I know,
right? I'm like, we'll do it at another time. Like, we can.
And
like,
you got to plan your whole outfit. What do you? What do you?
Well, it was pick? In my defense, I had my hair and makeup professionally done. It was first communion. Everybody was dressed.
That's right.
Nicely.
You were dressed up already. So that's right.
We were. I would have been totally. We would have been totally fine. You know, but apparently, but then I ended up leaving a little bit earlier. But apparently, she did like meet everybody that was like a fan and like took pictures with everybody, and I missed it.
Oh, that's so sweet though to know.
But
that
she was totally down with it.
I love hearing
come
that
on, you know, she loves it. She loves it
for me. It seems like she loves it in a way that is like not annoying, because you know how some people love it, like Ramona loves it too.
Ramona's
down in South Florida all the time.
Oh,
and,
that's right.
You know, so
by her she favorite hotel.
Chaos.
Yeah,
yeah, at Bagatelle and at, you know, whatever. So, but from so my friend called me later. She's like, "Te lo perdiste," and I was like,
no,
"I was like, I had
no
to go.
Muero.
I'm sorry, like whatever." She's like, "Yeah," she was like. She was hanging out. She was talking to everybody. They introduced
Damn
her.
Damn it.
She was
we could have
nice.
Blown up.
I know.
get you guys those VIPs to BravoCon.
I know. But it's okay. I feel like there's going to be other times.
Definitely.
And I do feel like it was not the time or place.
Right, right. No,
To do that. If it was like a more casual, like a birthday party or like something a little bit more casual, then
like
I
if it was
probably
the reception afterwards.
Correct.
That's different. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But it wasn't. Yeah. So I was just like, all right.
I don't care that everyone else did it. I would not have done it.
Yeah,
like,
I probably
no
wouldn't
way.
Have
either.
Yeah.
My
if
mom
I would
way
not,
too Catholic.
No, don't get me wrong. If I would have stayed behind talking shit with everybody, I absolutely would have. And you guys would have been the first to know. Because as soon as she walked in and I sat down after like I calmed down, I was like, I have to text them. I have to tell them. But the best I could do was the screenshot of the back of her head, because I didn't want to be like a creep either. And
right.
Like, oh,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, I was holding my breath with you. I was like trying to whisper. I was whispering while I read it. I felt you, especially because we're all Latina. We know how important religion is. And like,
estuvimos en la iglesia. What was I going to do?
All our moms, todas las mamis would have been like, pórtate bien.
I was sitting next to my mom. She definitely would have told me something.
Yeah, I feel you. I love it though, and I love that you're one makeup artist away. Actually, both of you are one makeup artist away. I appreciate that so much. I can't wait, because like in the girls that do Potomac with me, one of them lives in the same as Ashley, and so she runs into her all the time at the mommy park.
Oh, but is Ashley going to be staying there?
Well, we don't know anymore. That's why I was hitting them up too. I'm
who
like,
gets
what
the
is
penthouse?
Happening?
I have never been happier for somebody in my life than I have been for Ashley Darby.
Oh,
like, get
yeah,
that
let's
money,
talk
honey.
About that. Yeah, she met the deadline and then some, right? So she's entitled to half.
Well, you know who did that also? Yeah, who did that also a couple of years ago was Janet Jackson with that like Middle Eastern billionaire.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was a $50 million divorce.
Holy shit. I did not know that.
Yeah, their prenup was it was 5 years, and she had a kid with him.
Wow.
So she stayed the 5 years, and then like a month after filed
for
divorce.
Is this officially a secure the bag moment?
Yeah. Good for her.
Wow. Well, she had that baby at 50.
Did you know that Michael Darby used to own the Watergate building?
I did. Remember what's her name told us? In the last episode when they had that awkward couples night. Ashley.
Yeah. I found that out like in the course of this season, and I'm like, that's kind of crazy that he used to own Watergate. I mean, he didn't own Watergate when it was Watergate, but you know.
But we recapped it in the episode, and they were like, the girls were like, no. It was previously like owned by big dealers, but in recent times it had been sold off because they couldn't afford it, and so he was one of the owners.
Oh, got it. Okay.
That's how it worked.
It's the Watergate office building or the hotel across from it?
I believe it was the hotel.
I think it's the hotel, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I actually know who owns the Watergate building right now.
Yeah, he ended up losing it. Again, they've been going through mass turnover. So, like, they were saying it wasn't him by himself. It was, like, and different owners. They explained it on that episode we did, and I was like, okay, cool. Like I said, I love when we get insiders, because you guys know all the ins and outs of the cities. the wrapping up this last episode, episode 5, it's the big one. You guys talked about this before, actually, and I finally saw it. The Peter and Todd showdown. Oh, so ends good. In a big happy hug, but I have so many thoughts on this. I don't know. Like, I remember what you guys said before, that it's like tough love, and I kind of agree, but man, he was a dick. I really wanted to punch him a couple times.
The delivery was terrible. But I don't think I disagree with anything he said.
I mean,
I don't. I just think Todd was literally like, Todd thought he was back in Staten Island sitting in the living room at his mother's house. And he was talking to the plastic on the furniture. Exactly. And he thought he was talking to his nephew and his brother. You know, that's where Todd was coming from. And I could tell that. And they're coming from like, it's very different, especially for like Latinos like that. Yeah. The tough love is different. And it's not that.
And it's not even, it's different for Latinos and like mothers of boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I hate to put it that way, girl. because I am a mother of boys, and I don't want to be like that, because I don't think that boys need to get a pass for shit like that.
Yeah.
But she is like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she says it all the time, that she's very old school, and that and she is in her mid 50s. So like, she is that Gen X, you know, like still a little old school, you know, for a frame of mind, especially. And like, you know, for as much as like that generation is very like anti-drugs, and like anything you do is like the worst, most egregious thing you could ever do. Weird,
because I think she's like really cool with Peter smoking a bunch of weed.
Yeah,
I think she is too. I think she is too. But, you know, like, I'll tell you personally, like when my in-laws found out that my husband like was like into weed when we were younger, they like threatened to not come to our wedding and shit like that.
I believe
so.
It.
Wow.
My mom, she still thinks it's like the devil. She's like,
yeah.
So and, like, weed has, like how she says it. I'm like, mom, it's weed. It's not cocaine.
And weed is decriminalized.
You don't have to cook it.
You can get a card. Yeah, you can get a card and for $200, and you can get it at, like, you know, like you can get it and it's perfectly fine. So, but side there note, are people,
because we were talking about weed. The reason, because I was telling G, like, I'm trying to side hustle. Like, this pandemic has made me broke, and I need health insurance. Texas, we know, don't give a fuck. I have no health insurance.
Oh my God. I think we have it bad in Florida, but like, you guys are like right up there.
Yeah,
with
we're right neck and neck. Yeah. So I was telling my mom, what if I did like high end luxury dinner, like cannabis dinners? Because I saw it on Shaw's The Sunset.
Oh my God. Can I tell you that I'm like in the process of like doing that?
Yeah. With like, I think it's a money maker. It's amazing. And
I had like, somebody in the event world come to me like a year ago, ask me if like I wanted to like get into that, like high end, like weed dinner parties. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So like, I have that like through my business. I was like, oh, like we're like working on that as like a side experience.
Yeah. And like, sadly, the way culture vultures work, it is now becoming quote mainstream, right? I'm just trying to cash in because I'm broke. So
yeah,
I was telling my mom, like, what if I travel to states that allow, and because I have some of an event background, and I still have like a really good Rolodex of clientele, and I'm just trying to figure this shit out. And my mom,
well,
that
if
was
you want to come down here and do it, let's do it.
Oh my God, I'm so down. G knows, don't tempt me with a good time. I'm already making plans, guys. So I was telling my mom, and that was her reaction. She's like, vas a vender drogas? I'm like, no.
Yeah. But well, that podcast I mentioned to you guys, one of the I'm good friends with both the co-hosts, but one of them was saying something. He talks about his parents a lot, and his parents are very like old school Cuban. His parents are like in their 70s. And he was telling a story on an episode recently where he was like in the same situation where like his mom was like clutching her pearls because it's drugs. And he's like, it's weed.
Yeah, it's
weed. You can't even get arrested for this anymore.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised that like Alexia is so like lax with this, because, you know, that's if we're to believe that she's like quote unquote old school, that's a very old school belief. So
she was also married to a cocaine cowboy. So oh, I guess
yeah,
that's right. That's
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you're right, you're right.
I mean, I agreed with him and I thought about you guys when I was watching the fight, because I remember you guys prepped me for it. But I got to tell you, like, I was sweating like el coraje so many times. I was yelling at the TV like, don't talk to Alexia like that. Don't you know yeah. She's been through? I was so mad at him. Like when he said, but he's not my son. Like, oh,
yeah, that was hard. That was hard to watch. But then, and it was also hard to watch when he tells her that he's like, you're enabling him.
Yeah. But he says, what have you two done to help him? And then he tells Alexia, you haven't done anything. I've never wanted to punch a man so hard in my life. Like, how?
But I know what he meant.
I know what
like,
he meant.
Alexia thinks thing. Helping him is like wiping his butt and all that.
Right. Right.
But it's exactly. Like, okay, you got through that part. Now, what are you doing right. To try to make him like, a functional right. Human being in society, like as agree, best possible, right. Where you're he's not Todd isn't expecting miracles, and I know where yeah. He's coming from, because like I have little cousins in DR, and well, they're little to me, but they're in high school. One of them is autistic, and like we're trying to like figure out like what, like where is he gonna go, like how do we not make him dependent on a family member right. For the rest of his life, like we don't know
right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like Alexia has to think about that. You think that Peter, if something happens to Alexia, Peter's going to carry over Frankie? He just proved to you that he can't.
Right.
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 Yeah.
And I did understand that in the end, he's saying, like, you guys need therapy to heal. And I guess, like you guys were saying, it's just very different, especially listening to, in that moment, she said, when she's retelling the audio, she says, Frankie was a completely normal little kid.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. It was the accident that fucked him up.
And that's what she said. Yeah. Like for the first time, I kind of realized a little bit, she said, and he never came back the same. And I'm like, mm-hmm. in a way she's mourning a death, you know,
yeah.
And as a mother,
yeah. Mourning, what, sure. It's kind of like, it's like of what would his
of
life
what would have been.
It's kind yeah. Of like Andy yeah. Cohen's even talked about that. Like, I like coming out to my mother, like she just needed some time to like mourn what my life's like yeah. At that point yeah. she's thinking, I was like, well, he's never gonna
be able to have children,
have a baby
yeah. Parents of trans kids are apparently go through that as well, where yeah, they have exactly. To like mourn the person that they gave birth to and then like accept the person that they're trying to become. So I understand that, because that has to be devastating on some level, like whether or not you're gonna, I mean, hopefully, you know, whatever you accept whatever comes next, and that's what the goal is. But you do have to kind of like that's so hard, like to have to try to like be okay with the fact that like what you thought was gonna happen and what you wanted for your kid is not gonna happen. You know, like, and you're absolutely right.
All of that is done. And mm-hmm. And who are we to say like then enough of a mourning time? Although I agree with y'all, like it needed to be said, and I see it myself too. But like, God, it hurt me, because
it was rough. See the pain. Delivery was not good. Yeah.
It was not. But I don't ultimately think Todd was wrong, and yeah. I know that he spoke disrespectfully to her, but she does enable him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I hate to say it, but. Todd was proved right, because fast forward to look what
happened. I was about to bring that up
a couple months ago.
Okay,
Peter. Fine. The charges were dropped, pero pasó.
Yeah.
But the charges were dropped, but did you get to the reunion or you haven't seen it?
I haven't, but go for
I
it.
Did. I mean, anyone... the girl, I feel like they...
She totally defended him.
For anyone that's listening, I'm barely watching, fill them in. What happened with Peter and his wife, right? Or girlfriend?
No. This was Peter got divorced. He had gotten married, but in Paris and stuff, and like some yeah. Parisian girl. But no, Peter got divorced.
No, but I think this is a different girl. I don't think it's
the same
girl.
Is a different girl. This is just like a girlfriend after all that.
He got arrested for domestic violence.
Domestic violence, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in the reunion, like they bring it up, and Alexia gets incredibly defensive, and she's like, we're fighting it. It's completely false. It's
I'm not surprised.
And
it's
the whole
like boy mom thing vibe. It's the same.
Yes, it's exactly
the same reason
is.
She is how she is in that scene is the yeah. Reason why yes. She was defending him
it's,
like that.
And mi niño lindo. And mi niño lindo.
Exactly.
Can't hurt a fly.
And let's not forget that he, before
in the previous iteration of the show.
Yeah.
Punching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beat up on this is not his first time.
He's got a. Yeah. And then even on the
show. Yeah. And even on the show, he just like punched a cab, like an actual cab, not the cab driver. And like that was a whole nother like thing. Like he has issues and it's obvious and it's kind of like she's not recognizing. And I'm actually shocked because her mother was a psychologist.
Right.
Well, running to therapy.
She asked him about that on the show. I don't know that it was this episode or if it's something in the future that I'm spoiling. Sorry.
I know what you're saying. No, he's okay. Like, I don't need therapy. I have abuela Nancy.
But they have a whole conversation about it. And she's like, well, maybe you should go to therapy. He's like, why? We have abuela Nancy. Who is not with us anymore. So
exactly.
what are you going to do? Like, what is what's your solution now?
Yeah. So. I agree, especially with the beating up the homeless man. And I think, now that I'm like putting it together as I'm rewatching, the season in current time, I think Alexia can't, hear me out. I know it's going to sound crazy, but I think she can't allow herself to feel that he's at fault, because I think when you peel away the layers, Alexia feels it's her fault for having put him
1,000%
in this situation.
Yeah.
I think for she feels
his it's father her fault. Be a drug dealer.
Yeah.
She 1,000% feels guilty. She 1,000% sees like the trouble in her child is like
it's her fault
because of his father. Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, and he idolizes his dad.
Yeah,
in the older version, he says like my dad was a G, like he was a gangster, he was the original. And you watch Cocaine Cowboys, and he was like,
if even that, it was like well below that.
I know someone who knows
like little brother.
Right.
Yeah. I know someone who knows Rosello Sr. And Rosello's like out of jail, like living his best life these days. So, you know, he's and apparently nothing has changed from what I understand.
No.
The guy, I mean, I'm sure Peter is like, you know, palideando with his dad doing God knows what. And
exactly. Yeah. Alexia said they have a relationship. Like they do.
Yeah.
And like,
no, he's out of prison.
He's out of prison
living his best life in Miami.
He got out during all those like COVID situations. Like they're like, oh, just because like we're overcrowded and COVID, like just let him out. Right. Like, mm-hmm. And he went to jail for like underage sexual situations.
Who? Mm-hmm.
Peter's dad.
Shut up. Like, again.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. after he did time that we saw mm-hmm. Cocaine Cowboy. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he did the time for Cocaine Cowboys. He was out. Like, during the first iteration of the show, he was out. And, like, he had a relationship and everything. And then, while the show was on, quote-unquote, hiatus, he went to jail a minor sexual...
Yeah.
She definitely blames herself then. I didn't know that. Because can you imagine, like, as a wife, as a mother, you're like, this is my fault. Like, how mm-hmm. do I, oh my God. Yeah. Well, it's not Alexia, if you listen or if anyone knows. It's not, but I can understand.
Right. She definitely blames herself because she's like, my kids being this way, you know, but like, she did her best. Like, I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, you are.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we all are our own individual people. I mean, even Frankie, going through everything he went through, he comes out with some pearls of wisdom. Like, he knows better.
So it's like, the other thing is, like, are you really not, like, going to let your kid, like, have a relationship with his father either? Right. You know, I mean, exactly. I know he's a grown-ass man, but, you know, he can do...
Yeah, because look at Nicole. Her father also went away, and she is not following in his footsteps. You know, Nicole chose a different... So, like, everyone has their own choices.
I think that, well... I can only speak from observing for an hour, but they were fine yesterday. Everybody was so.
And I really love that.
She was sitting
trying to make peace with him.
She was sitting in between her brother and her father and her Grayson was like being held by her father the entire time.
Oh, wow.
So, So it was nice. It was nice to see. Like when he showed up, I was like, oh man, this is going to get good.
You're like, empezó la fiesta.
Empezó la fiesta.
He showed up at that lunch.
Yeah. It was really cute. Like he walked Grayson to like the altar of the church and like showing him things. It was really sweet.
So he's making up because they're watching it in real time, I'm sure. And the last episode was when she's telling how hurt she was because he came out. And instead of being like, I'm so sorry for lost time, I was like, where are the girls at?
Yeah.
And that was what she said in this last episode as they're watching it on Bravo.
Right.
So it's good to see that they're
Dad has a relationship with the brother, like, and has had a relationship with the brother and not necessarily with Nicole. So it might be one of those situations where like the daughter stayed with the mom and the son stayed with the father.
Like you know how boys are. He probably
like Nima and his sister on Shaw's of Sunset.
Oh yeah.
Like that. Yes. Yeah.
Why did we never get into that on production? That was a crazy situation. I want to know what was in that letter. Oh my God. Sidetrack.
Mm. Oh my God. Yeah. That's wild. That was wild. Super sad that show got canceled.
Yeah,
I know. I think Shaw's is a top tier Bravo show.
I love Shaw.
Top tier.
I love that show.
I love Shaw so much. One of my favorites.
I really hope it's not because of Mike, because that's very easy to like solve. Just don't.
What do you do?
Mike also got arrested for domestic violence.
The girl,
Paulina.
Oh, I beat her up.
Persian Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
She does look like her. Oh my gosh. Yes, she does look like her.
I've said that since the minute I saw her. Oh my God. This chick is Persian Lady Gaga.
She does look like her. Wait a minute. He beat up Paulina?
Yeah, like a month ago this happened. Like a month or two. It was recent.
Okay. So, yes. So he got arrested for domestic violence.
Oh my God.
And like, obviously, in the reports, it just says against like a cohabitant, right?
Right. It doesn't.
So everyone assumes it's Paulina. Right. Okay. Hear me out. Everyone assumes it's Paulina. Allegedly, MJ was on Jeff Lewis Live, which is a show on Radio Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. MJ was on there saying that it wasn't Paulina, that it was a third person, like it was another person. Like she just basically like implied that it was like they were having a threesome and it was against
what?
Not Paulina. Yeah, that it was against not Paulina. Allegedly. Her MJ.
The plot thickens.
MJ, yeah, so let us know. And if it was
MJ is messy as hell. Like,
hell yeah.
I love that. I love that. See, did you guys see? Did not need to get canceled.
Seriously, that's what I was telling you guys. Did you guys see? I posted about young, famous African.
I did, and I haven't seen it, and I feel like it's right up my alley.
I told you guys, it's like if you only casted Reza and MJ types, they're so messy. And they are so extravagant. Like their confessionals alone are like Met Gala looks. Like they are outrageous. I love it.
Paid to be messy.
I don't know if you guys are fans of Bling Empire, but that's coming back too.
Oh, that's coming back.
And Dorothy Wang is on it. I don't know if you guys saw Rich Kids of Beverly Hills years ago.
I know that she's gonna bring it because like out of like not watching it, but like if I tend that like in a tangent know about it, it's like I know Dorothy. Like
Rich Kids of Beverly Hills was wonderful. Really, really great. I think it only went like two seasons. It was on E, but it was really, really good. Dorothy Wang is also friends with Farrah, Kyle's daughter. She's really good friends with her. Dorothy's father is like a billionaire. He's like some Chinese billionaire. He builds like those crazy malls in Asia. Like that's what he does.
Yeah.
So, and she's a pretty messy chick.
That's probably why, because I saw in the trailer that she has like her and Kane are gonna have beef. And Kane's supposed to be like the one who like got the whole reality show started. And his dad builds malls in Asia too. So maybe it's like a right, like a dynasty.
Like a rival. See, the way that show is, like I would have I thought it would have all been Christine Chu. She's the narrator of that show.
Christine also in the past was interviewed for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Listen,
so Christine is one of those, like, I was seeking it, you know?
Two people that I think would transition really nicely into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, if we start moving away from, like, the Richardses and, like, start getting younger girls, Christine Chu and Christine Quinn, bring them in. They're perfect.
No, Christine Quinn belongs
Yeah, especially since
you know why? Because we need to get rid of Erica.
Yeah, probably. But she would also have like a real estate rivalry with Mauricio. So like maybe.
Mm-hmm. No, that's how. Wait, she just quit. I just saw the article. The article dropped this morning. She quit Oppenheim Group. Hello. She should just go to the agency and then start working for Mauricio.
But she's doing that crypto thing.
Well, the company. The company is, I mean, I don't know if she got her broker's license because the company is just like a broker, like facilitates the deals.
Got it.
I'm not so sure that they're taking listings and shit like that. They are facilitating the financial aspect of buying real estate with crypto.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure that they're actually.
I definitely think, well, I mean, I don't think that she's quitting selling Sunset because I think.
Left the Oppenheim Group and I don't know what you do if you quit.
Right. But here's what I'm thinking for season six is that like the storyline is that she's starting her own brokerage. So it'll be like a competing brokerage because they can't like, what are those girls going to talk about on Sunset?
They spent this entire season that just dropped.
They've spent the last two seasons because season four was the same shit.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like before it was a little warranted, but now it's just exhausting. Like, hater.
I'm a Christine Quinn, like, super fan. Like, I think this, like, Christine Quinn is the TV villain, but Chrishell Stiles is the actual villain.
1,000%. And I said, like, mira, a Chrishell le salieron los cuernos this season because they sure when did. When she was at that table with Jason, like, she was going hard. She was like, basically saying like, I'm your girlfriend, fire her, I hate her, babe.
I the first like 3 seconds of them like on screen as a couple, I was already repulsed.
Oh, and that was 1,000% for that show. They were 100% not a real relationship.
There's no way you were not fucking him. Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here. Absolutely not.
Sorry again, I put us on another tangent.
I love it.
People love this show. They're gonna eat this up. I'm so glad you guys are well versed on it because I don't know anything about it. So please, yeah, carry on.
The Netflix reality shows are really good, dude.
Yeah,
Netflix reality shows are really, really good.
I know everybody follows Selling Sunset. I'm just so behind. So yes, this is extra bonus that people are going to love.
Yeah, I haven't finished the season. I think I have like an episode or two left. I've had other things going on. So
right, congratulations for anyone listening. She is in the middle of almost giving birth. She is due any moment now.
I'm not gonna lie. I may have been having contractions.
This is our first Bravo baby. I'm so excited.
You know how that story came out about Stephanie Beatriz like being in active labor when she's recording the songs?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes,
wow. So I'm like, that's me on a much smaller scale.
Latinas do it all, man. Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nothing serious is happening right now. So, but you know, things are like pedaling along. But
I remember during the Oscars, one of the wins for Hacks, she said that she wanted to dedicate the award to their female producer who was handed a script for editing while she was in labor in the hospital bed. And she was like, people don't understand how hard women work.
Well, like, that's like the time off. That's like the female producer years ago that story came out recently that the entire drive for Toy Story 2 got wiped point.
Yes. Oh yeah,
during the production. Mm-hmm. And one of the producers or one of the writers or something was like on maternity leave but like working
one
from
of the
home.
Animators. Yeah
and she had like a whole copy of it and she like saved the movie.
God bless her.
Yeah,
they need to give her a bonus and name a park after her or something. One of their Disney parks. We're wrapped up with Real Housewives of Miami, so anyone listening will tune in next time to hear 6 and 7, but right now in real time episode 5 is about to air, and tonight actually Atlanta, ladies, any thoughts?
Premieres. You know, I really love Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been waiting for Marlo to get her peach for a really long time. I'm hesitant on Marlo because I feel about Marlo the same way I feel about Kenya, which is that she's necessary, And but she's not a great person. Although I gotta tell you, Ultimate Girls Trip really did change my opinion about Kenya. A lot.
Yeah, I found myself liking her a lot in the few episodes I've seen, which is weird because y'all already know I'm an anti-Kenya for life. But I think that
for me kind of solidified a lot of what they say about editing. And it depends on your edit. Mm-hmm. Because 10 Kenya definitely gets the villain edit on House on Atlanta. And I think she knows that. And I think she knows that that's her role. And that's fine. But she was like a different person on Girls Trip. And yeah, she was the same. She was the same. You know, I mean, she also was like up against like super villain Ramona. So
yeah, whatever. That's what I was just thinking. I guess it's who you're picking on, right?
Yeah, right.
I feel like she was definitely being picked on. So I was Team Kenya. But in the Atlanta group, her showing up with Kenya Moore hair care is all her.
It's so good. It's so good. And Sheree is back. Like, She by Sheree. We're finally getting She by Sheree.
Summer. It is spring, summer.
Summer, September, joggers.
I love it. I got to admit, you know, I was ready to quit Atlanta because I have loved Atlanta for so long. It was my first franchise that I got into. And then I realized that OC and New York existed. But for me, it's always been Atlanta, my first love. Mm-hmm. I've been a diehard NeNe fan. I've been
Portia.
I know it's polarizing because everyone's always torn. I'm a hardcore NeNe fan. I'm a hardcore.
Here's my thing with NeNe. NeNe was great for a long time, and I really liked her for a long time. Where I lost with NeNe is like when she left the first time and came back. She came back in not a good way, like not in a Bethany way. Where like NeNe came back, she needed the money, and you could tell that she came back because she needed the money.
Yeah, she didn't want to be there, for sure.
She didn't want to be there. And when a housewife doesn't want to be there, it really brings everyone down. And I think, and it kind of is the same thing like what happened with Lisa Vanderpump's last season. Like, you could tell she didn't want to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. And it really fucks with
Teresa's heading down that path.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. And I'm hoping it doesn't continue. Like, I'm hoping that next season it's different, but I agree, it's kind of feeling like she's getting there. And NeNe, just, you could tell, like, the whole closet fight, like, you could tell that, like, she was done, and she was just there to collect a paycheck. And when you're just there to collect a paycheck and not do your job, that's where she lost me. And like, Portia, for me, I love Portia, but like, she shot the bed big time.
Yeah, I agree actually with all your commentary. I saw the same thing. I'm just like how people are diehard Teresa fans. I'm a diehard NeNe fan.
I love a white refrigerator. We need to get you a home.
Like, I was about to say, and for me, it also treads on something
Trump
bigger.
Check. Like, because I got myself a Trump check.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of my respect comes for her from, because there's so many people, especially white women, Bravo fans, that use Black identity and Black memes and Black women to express and share a joke. It's such a big phenomenon.
I'm very guilty of that. I use memes. Well, I Said What I Said is one of my favorite gifts that I use.
That's most used gift.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it, she, and that's what I was saying in my stories. That's what I was saying in my stories the other day. She is part of a phenomenon. Like,
absolutely.
She exists in a pop culture era alone.
Absolutely. You don't have modern pop culture lexicon without NeNe Leakes. And I appreciate it for what it is. But just like, there needs to be, in my opinion, like, a respect for the show that some people start to lose and think that they get bigger than the show.
Yeah.
And now she's like,
the show put you there, relax.
I sort of agree with that.
And she's suing. So, and I get how it looks that way. So I don't disagree with.
Yeah, the optics aren't good, especially with this lawsuit, because it's been like, 4 or 5 years that she's off the show now at this point.
No, I think it's only been like, besides the COVID season. No, because they went into COVID, which she was still part of the reunion.
Yeah.
So she's only been gone this one last season with Bolo. That's it.
Really? I thought it was longer.
No, because remember when we did the reunion, they were the first Zoom reunion.
You're right.
Where they were in all white.
And she was pandemic. In that reunion?
Yeah. Remember, she shut down the laptop. It was all dramatic.
You're right. You're right.
No, because I made a big deal about it. I was like, this is the first Zoom reunion. Like, we had never done it before.
You're right.
And she still managed to walk off.
Well, and see, here's the thing. I'm starting to rethink, because I agree with everything you guys have said, even though I'm a fan of hers. I do see it also. However, don't get me wrong.
I don't want it to come off like, I don't think that her claims about like the racism are false, because I think we've seen that.
Right.
That's where I'm at now, time and again.
Yeah. Like, we've seen that a lot. Yeah. And they defend a lot of the white women, and they put up with a lot of the shit with the white women that they don't put up with the black women. Like, I get that. Yep. I'm very aware that is a real situation, and I do think that it's about time that somebody put Bravo's feet to the fire about on this. Yep, but I totally agree. On the optics also, like, it's a little, is it too little too late for that at this point? Because, like, you know, and I think that's where a lot of people are coming from.
You know how it feels to me that she always had this bubbling under the surface, and she was being nice and not letting the cat out of the bag, but now she has no fucks to give. And but so then I think, but then timing is everything.
But then she was also quoted saying that she's in talks to come back, or she was talking to somebody about coming back.
I think with Nene, it comes down to the quality of money. And I know she has been saying that for a long time, and I kind of ignored it.
I thought she was the first one to make $1 million in a season.
She might have made it, but
I think she was the first one, is my point.
She, I don't
make
know
about $1 million for that one part. Season.
She might have done it, but after
I could be making that up. But
I love that. I could be lying. I don't know.
I could be lying, but I feel like I remember that Nene was the first housewife to make $1 million in a season.
Right. I thought that was Bethany in her comeback season.
But Bethany's comeback season was after Nene was already making $1 million.
That would make a lot of sense.
So that would be a separate question. Anyone wants to investigate the $1 million? She's not stupid. You know, she knows she's biting the hand that feeds her.
And I don't want to downplay any of those experiences, because I don't think that they're false in any way, shape, or form. I really don't. It doesn't look great.
Yeah, and that's fair, because like, I agree with all the assessments you guys made. I agree with that. I remember being so bummed out that when she came back, it felt like she did not care to be there, and I was like, but I love you, show up for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was just like, bye, done. It wasn't even fun. So, like, I totally agree with all that. So I've had a hard time with Atlanta, because I loved her. I loved Portia so much. And I really hated that Kenya was being such a caga stick over this stupid polo thing. Because I'm like, girl, we're in a pandemic. Let us enjoy some D. Like, why you gotta be like that?
I would have never thought Kenya would be like that.
No, she's being a hater.
Because she was doing her job.
Huh, yeah, maybe, right? The villain arc line. But then when they where was it? New Orleans, remember? She's like, I'm a mother now. I'm not going to twerk for my... Shut up.
She was just... I've been a mother for 7 years.
I was so annoyed.
I hate that narrative of like, you give birth to a child and all of a sudden, like, you're dead. Like, you can't do any... Like,
I know. Weren't you in a red latex outfit stretching out your sexual chocolate, whatever you called yourself, like 2 episodes ago?
I can't stand that.
Oh yeah, they made the dirty the creaking noise. They're so horrible. She totally ruined it for me. Caga stick, let it go. It's Vegas rules. What happens in these hallways stays in these hallways.
Yes.
Oh, I hate her so much for that.
I don't like that. I think it's like, that's fine if you feel that way, that like, if you're a mother, you feel like you can't discern things now, but like, don't judge another mother.
No, and don't make that rule applicable to everybody.
That's your rule.
She didn't buy a lobster sandwich. No, we all know Candy, you can't go long without eating. She only bought that lobster roll for herself. She's rude. So she's not a girl's girl. I don't like her that way.
Yeah. And I feel like Kenya also uses like her mom card, like, for any kind of excuse, which I can't stand either.
Like, yeah, the I whole think like she I uses have, it
Like, yeah, I have to bring my baby everywhere. Like, I have to do this because I have nobody. Like, if you're as rich as you say you are, you do have somebody.
Yeah.
Because you have a nanny. You have a nanny that flew on a separate private plane from you.
Oh, so, yeah. That's right.
You play the nanny and coach.
Yeah, she's so, like, I was not excited about her. I do like the new Olympian. Is it Sonia? Or Sonia? I can't remember. And Sonia. Then I do love Messi Drew. I love Messi Drew. And I know
I feel like Drew needs to step it up a little bit. Yeah, so I'm people hoping...
didn't love her, but I did. You know what?
I didn't hate. I do.
Religiously Southern-y. She
needs to get the fuck out of that relationship because that her husband that is not a good dude. Yeah. That guy's got.
I still want to know where the fuck he was in Tampa, first of all.
Tampa, Candy, the capital. I was going to say in Tampa, the stripper club of the world, capital of the world.
I love Candy.
I can tell you where he was in Tampa.
Yes,
that's when I love how Candy's messy. It's very subtle. I love how she does that. She called him out on that.
Yeah. So I mean,
I love that she is back. Sheree is such a good bone carrier. So I was gonna drop the show, but I think I'm actually curious. I do.
Of course. I'm so disappointed in Portia, to be very honest. Like, I loved her so much. And this whole thing with this, like, with Simon, I didn't watch her spinoff. I'm not super into a lot of
terrible.
I don't watch a lot of the spinoffs, to be very honest. Like, I didn't watch it,
but she was validated because the whole thing, everybody thought she was a homewrecker, right? Because she got together with Homeboy in April, May. But 6 months later, his ex-wife gave birth to a baby that wasn't his. So
no, I know that. No, I didn't.
And the
I
baby was the guy he the guy cheating with.
Yeah, that she denied cheating with, and it was his
baby. Fallon.
Yeah,
and they're together,
and they're still together. No, yeah,
I didn't think that she was a homewrecker. I was like,
oh, okay.
The timings of everything were just like so close together, and like,
yeah,
I know that she was still trying to work things out with Dennis, and like. It just felt like it came out of nowhere, and like, and because it wasn't the kind of thing that it was like, oh, we're dating now. It was like, no, we're engaged and we're getting married and we're going to Africa and we're like doing like we're going to Nigeria and we're gonna be like the king and queen of Africa. And it's like,
here's what I think.
It was just a lot. It was like a lot right away.
It is, but here's what I think. I think she genuinely, sadly, I think she genuinely loves. Hot Dog King. What's his name? Dennis.
Dennis.
I think she actually really loves him. And look, Portia's a good Southern Georgia peach. We know how that is. You're going to love your baby daddy. Like, I really do think she loves him. But I think she's also smart. And I think in Simon, she saw someone that loves her more than she loves him. And which I think
really,
she
you know, that's is kind smart... of important, to be honest.
Well, and she thinks that I'll be also, really
isn't
honest.
He like, isn't he a gazillionaire?
Right. And like, okay. Isn't that like a much better position to be in, that this gazillionaire loves you more than you love him?
Yeah.
I think she's making a smart choice here. And she's just like, okay.
It's like Mia.
This is better. Mia. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I think for her future, she sees that if she chooses like this broken love, he's going to cheat on her all the time. Is it worth all that? Or is it better to like put that love away and be really happy with someone that loves
you? Yeah, no, I that's fair. And especially since Portia's kind of been through it between Cordell, who I don't know what the real story is there, but there's a lot of rumors about Cordell and then this hot dog, you know, just
It's like picking the fuck boy or the good on paper guy, right?
Right, exactly. So I mean, yeah. Then sometimes you have to pick the good on paper. I'm just saying it was just like a lot.
It was
a very short amount of time, and it was very messy.
And that's why I had to apologize. I really did feel like it was like I held up for her, but I did. I held up for her outside at brunch, but inside when we came back to her house, I was like, bitch, what happened? Tell me the truth. Like, I really believed it was sus, but it wasn't.
I
was still questioning.
Plus, wasn't she the one that was like friends with Fallon also? Like, if
well,
she
they say
canon.
Everybody came out and was like, nah.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like in terms of the show. She like Fallon's introduction to the show was as Portia's friend. But,
okay,
like,
good. Okay. I'm glad I didn't make that up then. Okay,
I know, but it was really more that like
Portia knew Simon and that Simon had asked Portia to introduce her to the show. I feel like that was a little like that was like a little like a Kelsey Grammer move. Like,
well, and Simon and Dennis were business partners.
They're exactly. Like, oh, I didn't know that.
Exactly.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how she knows him.
That's how she met him. Yeah. That part was messy. But I think she's making smart. And like I said, now that I'm getting older too, like sometimes you meet people that you fall in love with, but you're like, damn, but you are not good for me. Like, you are just going to fuck around with my feelings and emotions. But like, I'm also, you know, I'm approaching 40 and I'm also looking for peace in my life now. Whereas to, I think 10 years ago, I would have followed my heart and I would have been like, I love you and this stuff. But now I'm like, yo, you're like running around all the time. I don't have time to be like cheated
on. Yeah. Yeah. No, when you, as you get, I definitely agree. As you get a little bit older, you definitely make more safe choices.
Safe exactly. choices. Yeah.
I don't especially when you become a mother.
Yes. Yeah. She's got a little PJ over
there.
Yeah.
When you have somebody, when you have somebody else to consider. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause like, I'm not even a mom, but I don't have time to be worrying about your DMs and your text and all this bullshit. I just want peace in my life, peace and security. And if you have like some good health insurance, that'd be taboo, you know, because I need that health insurance. But yeah, I find myself feeling more okay with safe choices now. And that might change when I'm 65, right? Gloria Steinem got married when she was 65 because she said she felt it was that she was in love and she wanted to. And that was it.
Listen, like, you can change it. It happens. Kamala and Doug got married, met when they were like in their 50s. It was her first marriage. It was a late in life love. Like it happens. It can happen. And it's never too late.
I totally believe it. So I said, you could run away with the lead guitarist for Journey.
Exactly. You're shot.
Totally. I believe it. This was so much fun, guys. We like totally caught up on so much. And I'm sure there's a lot we missed that we'll get to touch on next week. But for anyone listening, make sure you come back. We're covering Real Housewives of Miami and of course, any breaking news that comes along the way. So thank you guys so much for your time. We're gonna go ahead and like wrap this up and let our co-host get to her baby that's coming any moment. But thank you guys for listening. I know we've been on break for a while and always check the stories. You know, I fill you guys in all the time. Until next time, Latinas watching Bravo, come back with us.